Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Today's opening tip, Ja Morant went full Vince Carter, putting his arm in the net with this dunk in the pregame warm-ups. Matt, based off the dunk contest last weekend, you think D-Wade would have scored that one a 9?
D-Wade has some home cooking for his former team.
Yeah, it depends on who else is in the contest, George.
You know what I mean? So he's not going to be able to live that down for a little while.
D-Wade, I would just say you are a fine American. You did what any fine American would have done in that situation last week.
He knew what he was doing, and he's got to take the blowback, and this is it.
That's it.
I see nothing wrong. I don't see any lies D-Wade told. Welcome into The Jump. I'm George Sedano. In for our fearless leader, Rachel Nichols. Today I'm joined by New York Times bestseller and host of the Hoop Collective podcast, Brian Windhorst, and also NBA champion and host of the All the Smoke podcast on Showtime, Matt Barnes. All right, there it is, All the Smoke. There we go. Coming up, Trae Young gave the Heat 50 and decided to let Jimmy Butler know about it on Twitter afterwards. Will he regret his decision, though? We'll discuss. But first, let's talk about Joel Embiid. He's one of the league's most colorful characters, both on and off the court. After vowing to stop trash-talking before the season, Embiid is reconsidering that. He sat down with our own Rachel Nichols to discuss his trash talk, his relationship with Ben Simmons, and much more. Let's take a listen.
Embiid, top of the key, three. High arcing shot is good. Hands in the air for Joel Embiid.
And Embiid blocks his shot, found in a frenzy. One of the great blocks of the year.
Your team plays really well at home. Lights out. Really struggles on the road. What can you bring from home to the road? What has to change?
Well, it starts with me. Just finding that passion again. Whole season has been frustrating. Some nights, we still finding our rhythm. You don't know what you're getting.
Just because you guys have played well at home doesn't mean you haven't heard it sometimes from the hometown fans. You had a couple games where fans were booing you. You came back, you did the shh to the crowd. There was some social media back and forth. You talked about being a villain.
I love it. I think he helps me. I think everybody can see it too. I always say controversy is good. We were together at the beginning of the season when I said that I was going to give up on trash talk. And look where he brought me.
I don't think I'm talking trash this year, so.
I've heard that from you before. Last year, in the middle of the season, you were like, I'm done. I'm not talking trash anymore. I'm not doing any more on social media. And that lasted like a month, Joel.
I'm a changed man. I'm not doing none of that this year. I changed.
I was going to say, so we had an arrangement, Joel. Yeah. You told me during preseason you're not going to trash talk anymore.
I stopped. Well,
you were suspended for 2 games for going back and forth with Karl Anthony Towns.
Well, I stopped and I have not been myself. When you're talking trash and you have something against the next guy that's on the other team, I think he brings something else out of me. I mean, before the social media, people were saying I'm immature, and then I stop, and then now it's like he doesn't have passion, and he doesn't love the game, or he doesn't. So like, there's really no, you can't win here. So I think at the end of the day, it's all about just being me, and I feel like the attention he brings to the team, it's okay. I'm gonna back it up. If it's gonna help us win, then go on with it. And I don't think anybody has a problem with it.
All right, so I want you to ask my Ben Simmons question for me. What is everyone asking you?
Can they play together? Do they hate each other? I mean,
you want to answer yourself too?
I mean, at the end of the day, we know what we got to do. I love him. I love playing with him. So he's a special talent. He helps us a lot, so, I mean, I think we can accomplish something special.
All right, thanks to Joel Embiid for taking the time to sit down there. Here's what he said after the overtime win against the Nets last night, quote, "But the All-Star game, just proving I'm here, I belong, and being the best player in the world. I just intend to keep coming out every single night and just play hard and trying to get these wins and go out there and try to win a championship." So, Matt, what's your reaction to Embiid calling himself the best player in the world?
I don't have a problem with it. I think when he, it's always, for me, with Embiid, it's always been between the ears. When he decides to come out and be the dominant force, he's a nightmare. There's no one in the world can guard him, whether he wants to take him from the three-point line or back him in on the block. No one can guard him. It's just consistent. I think what makes good players great and great players superstars, is consistency. And he hits some nights he feels it, some nights he doesn't. What they need to know, or what we need to know from him is what Embiid are we going to get? When we find out what Embiid we're going to get, we're going to find out how far they're going to go in the playoffs. But I picked them to win a championship because I was hoping there's some maturity was going to come along, you know, season after season. But I hear a lot of talk, but when he shows that he's locked in and loves it, he's unguardable.
When Ben Simmons doesn't play, he sometimes does feel like the best player in the world. And it's not because they can't play together. Mm-hmm. That's not true. It's not because they don't like each other, per se. Although Ben is a guy who, he's not really an outgoing guy, so he's going to be a little withdrawn. It's that they can't be their best most of the time with each other. And so last night, Ben wasn't in there. He had a back injury. Joel's coming off this terrific performance in the All-Star game. I thought, we talked about this yesterday, his fourth quarter was amazing. He was able to be the centerpiece in the fourth quarter in overtime. He was exhausted because he poured so much energy into that game, but he was still pumping up the crowd. And I just feel like when he's in that mood, as Matt said, and he is moody, when he's in that mood, he is one of the best players in the league. But it's harder when Simmons is there because it's harder to get him into that zone.
You said that they can't be their best necessarily when they're both on the floor together. What do they need to do, guys, to get to that point?
And this is a very simple question with a very simple answer that can't be executed. Ben Simmons needs to be able to pull the guys away. But Ben Simmons doesn't want to do that. I mean, this is a circular conversation. And unless they come up with a style of offense that we haven't seen yet, or Ben Simmons steps out there and creates the space for Joel Embiid, they're going to keep running into each other. Maybe not every night.
Right.
Maybe not in every quarter, but over the course of when it matters.
Do you think that the roster construction, though, is a big problem there, Matt? Because they didn't have a lot of shooting. They've added some guys, Glenn Robinson III and Alec Burke, but initially they didn't have much of it.
And I think that's what they need more than anything because of the way Ben Simmons plays is space. You know, they had Ilyasova, they had J.J. Redick, they had Bellinelli for a while. They had a bunch of guys that you had to honor. With all due respect to Burke and Glenn Rice, you don't necessarily have to give the same type of respect from Glenn Robinson, the same type of respect you had to give those prior guys. So it is what it is at this point. This is their roster. I think that Horford probably needs to come off the bench to create more space. Although he's a stretch, he's just another big guy and a big body, and I don't really feel like that combination is working. But they just have to learn how to do it.
Even last night, as good of a win as it was, the reason that the Sixers had to go to overtime and only almost lost the game was because in the fourth quarter, the Nets put on a 2-3 zone.
Right.
And they couldn't score against it. They went possession after possession after possession. They couldn't score. Alec Burks had his best game as a Sixer last night at 19 points. He still got wide open from the three-point range and put up one of the ugliest shots you'll ever see. The ball missed 3 feet to the left.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen in the playoffs. They're going to go to zone, and they're going to force them into that situation.
We've seen Miami do that successfully against them 3 times and 1 time on ESPN. Like that is something that you can do to them. But speaking of Miami, Jimmy Butler has said that Joel Embiid, he said this early in the season, can be the best player in the world. Do you believe, though, a big can be the best player in the world?
I wouldn't say overall best player, but he's hands down one of the most talented players in the world.
Why do you suppose Jimmy is saying that?
Well, I'm sure there's other reasons. You know, he likes. He says he's in a place where they like villains, and he's kind of invited him over to be a villain.
To saying that.
Yeah, I mean, there could be some recruiting there.
Is he coming to Miami, Embiid to South Beach? Like I said, too many nights we have to wonder what Embiid are we going to get.
Yeah,
we know every night what Giannis we're going to get. We know every night what LeBron we're going to get. Every KD, Steph. We know these great players. Every night they step on the floor, they're going to do what they do.
I absolutely love Ben Simmons as a player.
Right.
I love Joel Embiid as a player.
Yeah.
I'd want them both.
Right.
But I don't want them both.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a tough spot, certainly. The Bucks, by the way, are at the top of the East right now. They picked up an easy 20-point win over the Pistons last night. So, Brian, let's ask this. Are the Sixers capable of challenging the Bucks in the Eastern Conference?
Man, if you are 26-2 at home, you can challenge to win the title.
Right.
You've got it within you to win the title. But it's the same situation. I think both teams sort of have the same Achilles heel for different reasons. Both teams are going to be very strong on the interior when they want to be. Both teams rely on interior scoring so that the antidote is strong interior defense, which they both can do very well. The Bucks, one of the greatest interior defensive teams in the history of the game. I'm not even exaggerating there. The numbers show that. But at the end of the game, when it really matters, they're going to pack it in and make you shoot.
Right.
And make you create from the outside. on Sunday, we saw, and I keep coming back to this because I really do think it's relevant. We saw at the end of that game, Giannis wasn't doing anything offensively. He was awesome on defense. He's blocking shots. He's great. Offensively, when the chips were down with all those All-Stars, he had trouble doing anything. What happened with Embiid?
Right.
They went into him, but they were able to go into him because the floor was spread with the other players. Mm-hmm. They had other players spread. So it is the ability for the Sixers to beat the Bucks is there, but they're going to have to check so many boxes and go around so many corners and have to do it without home court advantage if they match up, that it is going to be hard, but it could happen.
I'm with Zach Lowe on this, where he says they've basically been constructed, the Sixers, to try to beat the Bucks. The problem is, can the Sixers get to the Bucks, Matt?
Yeah, no, I definitely think they have a chance if they get there. A lot's going to ride on Embiid and what guy shows up. Like I said, Ben Simmons is going to have to impose as well. I think last year in the playoffs, a few games versus the Nets, he just imposes. He's bigger and stronger than any person out there. So whether it's going by him, backing him down, staying on the offensive glass, creating plays for other players, he has to be dominant every single night. And then Embiid has to be the best Embiid he can be. And then, you know, the supporting cast has to.
Somebody's got to hit some shots. I mean, right. If in a series, if you get Alec Burks hitting shots at the right moment.
Yeah.
In the one road game you got to win, he hits two threes, or in the moment, you can do it.
I think the Sixers are capable of being the best defensive team in the league. Like, they have that kind of personnel. And if they can figure that part out, maybe they don't need the shots as much, because defense generally tends to travel in those situations.
Absolutely.
It could be ugly, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, you may have to go 90s basketball if you're that.
Ugly.
All right, our NBA Saturday primetime game features Giannis and the Bucks taking on Joel Embiid and the Sixers. And Hall of Famer and Bucks legend Oscar Robertson will join the set. Coverage tips with The Jump at 8 Eastern on ABC. You can always watch both on TV and on the ESPN app. Coming up, with Kyrie Irving officially out for the rest of the season, what's next for the Brooklyn Nets? We'll break that down in just a second. But first, it's time for our first distant replay from this date in 2001, featuring Stephon Marbury. Check it out.
Is he a son at this point?
No, a net.
Marbury.
Is this Calipari still?
What about he had the lob this game, right? Didn't he have that lob?
Oh,
there we go.
Steal by Marbury. And a three-pointer.
That's why they build statues of you in China, man.
Wow.
There you go.
That's an all-star, folks.
Oh, see, he was sort of like playing possum there.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Showing him up.
Alvin Williams, John. Lenny Wilkins knows a great point guard when he sees one.
Hey, whenever you're ready.
It's a make or miss league.
It's a make or miss league.
Make miss.
It's a make or miss league, baby.
How do we get to do that?
I see my man Stan Verrett getting those checks. Make ankle breakers. Trae Young had a 50-piece last night, including this crossover that got Iggy off balance and then burying the three. Matt, what's more impressive from Trae, the handles or the range?
I think it's the combination of both, because guys can handle, guys can shoot, but to be able to do both, there's a handful of guys in the league that can do it, and he's one of them.
Yeah, if he's got the range, you got to come way up on him, right? And then he's got the handles to get by you and to create all the space.
Bad situation.
Next, miss humility. Rockets Warriors, Daniel House will hit the three here. Then check this out. He looks over at the Warriors bench and then gets teed up. Matt, did he deserve a tech there?
Ridiculous. The ref needs to be fined.
Boy, I'm stunned that you would take that. You would take a trash talker's side there, Matt. You know, this game was hot from the start.
Yeah.
There was obviously ejections going on. The referees were trying to hold control, but I wouldn't be surprised if that gets rescinded.
Yeah, that seems a little bit over the top, but hey, everyone makes mistakes.
Nick Bucher to call a tech on you now, that ref, so don't mess with Nick.
Yeah. Next, make brands. Here's Kawhi and Cabo.
Classic.
Wearing his own jersey.
Classic.
Brian, are you a fan of the flex?
I'm surprised he wasn't wearing the New Balance.
Yeah?
Here.
Classic. Kawhi would probably be the only superstar that can get away with that, because it's just Kawhi. Like, if LeBron did it, we'd be killing him. If someone else did it, we'd be killing him. But it's cool with Kawhi.
This is called brand development.
Yeah. Ron Artest did that. Meta World Peace did it when they won the championship. It was all around L.A. all night after celebrating winning a championship with his jersey on. Miss responsibility. Back to San Francisco. Warriors come up with the steal and the slam here. You'll check it out. But look at the guy mopping the floor, narrowly escaping the collision.
Wow.
Brian, do you admire his dedication to mopping?
I admire the defense of the Rocket here, who just stayed there and watched him go. So, Jeff Green. That was Jeff Green.
Yeah.
Really getting into the spirit.
I'm surprised this doesn't happen more because those little, the ball guys are on it. You know, they got to get the wet spots up and the game changes direction so quickly. I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often.
Next one.
It's his nightmare, though.
Yeah, that kid was terrified. There's no question. Make misdirection. Net Sixers, Philly out and running. Check out this sweet Eurostep from Embiid.
It looks even better because he's got the neon shoes on.
Yeah. Matt, how impressive is this for a seven-footer?
Incredible. Like I said, he is one of the best players in the world when he's playing.
Jesus. That's going to be in Joel's Twitter feed.
And that's that's fantastic. All right, time to run it back with the best Eurosteps ever.
Oh.
Number three, Russ on MCW back in 2017. Ooh, hello. He froze him right there. That's nice. That's nice. Oh, youngster. Come on now. Jesus. Number two, we've got Giannis in OKC. A little revenge. This is back in 2016. Hello.
Wow.
With the left hand.
Strong finish.
Yeah.
No reaction. No reaction. Like he does this every time.
Right.
Nothing you can do about that.
No doubt.
And one on that play?
About that.
Yeah.
And number one, D-Wade on KG in the playoffs in 2011. Windhorse, you and I were there.
Wait a minute. That was the Hezzy. Into the Euro
Turned
step.
Him around. You know who we forgot too was Ginobili. Ginobili has some classic.
Ginobili games. Does for sure.
In the early Ginobili.
That's two, Euro that's 2 days in a row. We've shown KG getting shown up here. We are pressing our luck. I just want you to know.
All right, welcome back to the Jump. Brooklyn's injury concerns went from bad to worse yesterday. Sean Marks spoke to the media in Philadelphia and announced that Kyrie will undergo season-ending shoulder surgery. Kyrie's put up 27 points a night, but has appeared in just 20 of Brooklyn's 54 games. So, Matt, how should the Nets treat the rest of the regular season? They're firmly in the seventh spot in the East at the moment.
Let's continue to play hard. Continue to play hard. We all knew that next year was supposed to be the year that, you know, they were going to be measured off of, and with the return of KD. I think the most important thing here is, as much as Kyrie didn't want to have surgery, he didn't want this to continue to nag. You know, surgeries or something serious, shoulders or something serious. You don't want this to continue to nag. Like I said, KD is getting better. Hopefully this won't be something that keeps him down too long, but he'll be ready to go for next year. And everyone's excited to see what the Nets are about next year. But they play hard. They're going to continue to play hard. And that's what you love about the team outside of their superstars being hurt.
Well, they have clarity now. They know that there's nobody coming back. KD earlier this week came out. Not that there was much of a chance, but right. KD came out and said, hey, I'm not coming back. They know that this is going to be their group. They're going to be able to play this way. And I also think this is going to be a bit of a showcase because there's a little bit of stuff out there at the trade deadline that Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert could be available. And it could have been a little bit of a, you know, just put it out there in the water. Because when I talk to executives, they think if you're the Nets, you're going to look for a third star.
Right.
And can they use Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, some part of those guys to trade that type of player? That may be a big move that they would look at this summer. It's supposed to be a great opportunity for them to showcase those guys and those guys to have great playoffs to set it up.
Matt, do you think that it's an audition, whether it's for someone else or for them?
1,000%. You know, like I said, I think they knew, regardless, they had a kind of a ceiling this year. Maybe a gift and a curse. Kyrie being done, like Brian said, for the year. And now you're going to get to see who's out there. I'm sure they're going to get some trade. You know, during the summertime, they're going to get some offers. And like you said, if you can package someone up and get that consistent third star, if you don't feel like Dinwiddie or LeVert is that, this is the perfect time for these guys to show. And then they're going to be battle-tested. You know, if this is the core they go to the playoffs with and they have to do it on the biggest stage, you're going to know these guys are ready for
whatever. As last night showed, they could put the scare into somebody.
Oh, they play hard.
They won't be the favorite,
right.
But they could scare somebody.
Love how hard they play.
I think the East next year is going to be fascinating because you know you have seven teams that are pretty much locked in, and then the eighth spot will kind of be up for grabs. So it's no longer just the JV, anymore.
Absolutely
moving
not.
Forward. All right, coming up after the break, we'll talk more Trae Young. Not only did he bring the heat against Miami, but he had some spicy words for Jimmy Butler. But first, here's D-Wade's rap debut on his track with Rick Ross. Take a listen.
You know, my last season, man, you know, just about doing it for the city of Miami. It's for the culture.
With two, Wade puts it up for the win. Yeah, baby!
Ball is my passion. Check the stats of the ass. Three rings on his finger. Yeah, that boy was a winner.
The Miami Heat have won the NBA title.
Going on to the season ticket holders.
And listen, we put on for the city. 16 years, 5 finals, 3 rings. We put those trophies over our head. We put on for the...
Dwayne Dwayne Wade is to basketball in Miami as sunshine is to the beaches. Prior to his arrival there, it was a lot of heartache to Miami basketball. Wade burst onto the scene, a shy kid from Marquette, the fifth pick in a draft that had higher profile players. But he was the first in his class to turn heads in the playoffs.
By Wade putting the move on Davis. Here is Wade. Yes! The rookie has given Miami a two-point lead.
Flash was born. The kid from Chicago became the savior the Magic City needed and brought the Heat back to win its first championship in one of the greatest finals performances ever.
Wade the rebound. It's over. The Heat have won the NBA championship.
Not long after, the Heatles were born.
This is the dream come true.
The NBA's version of a rock band were a force to be reckoned with.
Dwayne Wade, here he comes with LeBron. Oh my! A crusher from high above the rim at the Bradley Center.
Most importantly, four straight trips to the finals and two more titles.
The Miami Heat are going to be back-to-back champions of the basketball world.
The years following had vintage Wade moments. The birth of Father Prime, and a split that left all of Miami in a daze.
They wanted me back in Miami. I considered it, but at the end of the day, I went where I wanted to be.
Although, absence truly does make the heart grow fonder. Wade returned to Miami to open arms.
Wade County, I love you.
He wasn't done giving us moments of brilliance.
Wade. Tough shot. Got it! With 5.9 seconds left, welcome back to your home, Dwayne Wade.
One Last Dance showed us why a generation of Miami fans fell in love with the sport of basketball.
Dwayne shoots. No, he couldn't get it off. Now fires it up. Bank it in! It counts! Dwayne Wade won it for Miami! It just happened!
Miami will forever be Wade County, and it will always be your house. Thank you, Dwayne.
Sunday at 9 Eastern on ESPN will debut D-Wade, Life Unexpected, the ESPN Films' deeply personal documentary chronicling Dwayne Wade's experiences on and off the court leading up to his final year in the NBA. You'll get never-seen-before footage from Chicago, Marquette, Miami, and more, available on ESPN Plus at midnight Eastern. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm George Sedano in for Rachel Nichols, joined by Brian Windhorst and Matt Barnes. We just ran my essay on Wade, so let's stick to the Heat here. Team president Pat Riley thinks the media is down on his squad, but the godfather wants his team to know that they can win it all this year. Here's what he told Ira Winderman of the Sun Sentinel. Quote, I haven't heard it from anybody out there. Nobody believes that we can win a championship, the media. And I don't think many of them even believe that we're going to finish high. And I believe our players have more of a belief in what we can do than they do. It's not to use that as motivation, but that's just the reality. Brian, what do you make of Riley's comments?
What is he talking about?
I'm with you.
The Heat, especially at ESPN, we've been on a Heat binge for months now. We've had multiple things, you know, praising how this team has been structured. And we've talked about how
the Iguodala, I flew down there with Rachel and Perk.
And we thought the Iguodala trade potentially could make them a challenger to win the East. But I will say this, though. What is reality is that they are 11-12 in their last 23 games. Mm-hmm. They have slid back to the Sixers. The Sixers are now right on top of them for home court advantage. And by the way, you know, we talk about how the Sixers are a home road kind of Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
The Heat are 22-3 at home, and they are 13-17 on the road. I mean, it's not terrible, but it is a problem. They need home court.
Yeah.
Just like the Sixers do, and their defense has struggled. Now, they have had some injuries, for sure. They are missing several key players.
Right.
That said, they've got to pick it up, regardless of what game Pat wants to play in the media. And Eric Spoelstra knows that. He was extremely disappointed in their loss last night in in Atlanta. They totally let that game fall through their fingers, even though Bam Adebayo played great. And the Heat have to worry about their own selves right now besides perception.
Matt, let me ask you this. As far as adding some of those new pieces, Crowder, Iguodala, veteran-type guys, but my guess is that'll take a little while to get some chemistry there, right?
You know, it'll take a couple weeks, but those are both smart veteran guys. You know, Iguodala's experience, on and off the court is really going to help that team. And it's just going to take a couple weeks. But they're definitely going to be a scary out regardless what their seeding is. Like you said, playoffs is a whole other monster. And they have experience now mixed with a great group of young guys. So whether they can win it all or not, Pat Riley's supposed to say that. They're supposed to believe right. that. But we'll see what happens in the playoffs. But they're going to be a tough out regardless.
Yeah, I think, Brian, like if to me, going into the season, if they were a second-round team, I thought that was a big step considering where they were. Sure. I mean, could they?
Even if they got second round now, I'd be really happy with
right.
their season.
Yeah. I mean, look, they'd need a lot of luck, I think, to get in anything beyond that. Is that fair to say?
I think one of the things that they have developing right now is their defense is struggling. And they are the premium three-point shooting team in the league.
Right.
Like almost nobody does it better. When they put out their best defensive players,
right.
their shooting goes down.
Right.
When they put out their best shooters, their defense goes down. So finding Eric's – and, you know, Andre Iguodala, frankly, is not a good three-point shooter. Now, he could all of a sudden go up, but – that is a big challenge for Eric Spoelstra coming down the stretch of the season.
Yeah, Jay Crowder came in, wasn't shooting the three ball very well, like under 30%, if I recall correctly. And then his first week on the team, he shot 60% yeah. from three. That wasn't necessarily what you can expect moving forward, but he's played pretty well for them at this point, at least. All right, let's check out who was in the zone, brought to you by AutoZone and none other than Trae Young.
He was, man.
Man, he was in the zone last night, dropping a career-high 50 points in a win over Miami. This is a bit of a revenge game for Trae as he suffered a bit of an embarrassing loss to the Heat back on December 10th. Young proclaimed, quote, game over late in the fourth quarter of that game just before the Heat rallied to win in overtime. Jimmy Butler posted a clip to Instagram with the caption, this man at Trae Young is a teller of the future. He was right. Game was over. So after the 50 piece last night, Trae Young remembered that and tweeted this. And FYI, Jimmy Butler was right. I can see the future. I saw tonight happening a while ago. Hashtag, and I don't even like Twitter beefs, but. So, Matt, do you think Trae will live to regret this one with Jimmy?
No, not at all. I think it's all fun and games. I think the fans love it. The crowd loves it. We're talking about it now. But he's a special talent.
Oh, yeah.
And Jimmy's always going to remember that. So that's going to be brought up when something happens down the line. But I don't think it's, you know, it wasn't anything that's derogatory or vicious. They're just having fun. But Trae Young has a lot of confidence coming out of the All-Star game. Like, we spoke yesterday when Brian said it was big for Embiid to get that confidence in the All-Star game. Trae Young is playing with the same type of confidence. First time All-Star boarded him in. People doubted him. He's coming out and letting people know they made a mistake for doubting him being a starter.
Jimmy was not good in the second half of that game
no.
last night. So, and it was really, both those games were actually similar because I thought the Heat had that game won last
right.
night. They just totally let it go. I thought the Hawks had that game won in Miami. Again, Miami is very different home and road. I would love the Heat and the Hawks to become rivals in that division going forward. I would love this to be the foundation of something bigger.
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting with Trae, though. We have that stat real plus minus here at ESPN. And he's like at the top of the list on offense. He's first. And he's at the bottom of the list on defense among 490 players this
wow.
season. We've never seen a gap like this.
Yeah,
people used to say that this was a problem with Steph Curry, that he was all offense and no defense. But actually, Steph is a significantly better defender, yeah. and he's got better size than Trae. I mean, one right. of the challenges when you have building around Trae Young is when you think about what players to bring into that team, you're going to have the other guard be a defender. And you're not going to be able to have any other undersized players at any other position because you become a matchup problem. You can win
yeah.
with a player like that. There have been plenty of Hall of Famers who didn't play defense.
Right.
But this does challenge both how you build the team and the strategy that you have in individual games.
Matt, could he be your best player?
He could be your best offensive player. But going into the playoffs, size matters.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've seen some small guys do it. The Allen Iversons, Steph Curry's not huge, but they've been able to do it. But like you said, you're going to need a 2-and-D guy instead of a 3-and-D guy to play alongside of him to take all those matchups. That's why, you know, Klay is so underrated.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he took, although Steph does play defense, Klay takes that best player every single night. They need someone like that that could still shoot the ball, but also take the best wing player, and they don't have
Trae
that.
Hasn't played in too many consequential games,
right?
But the first time he does, you know, in the fourth quarter,
they're targeting him.
Hunting.
Oh, yeah, they're gonna
every
find him.
Possession,
every single day.
Yeah, well, I guess that's what they're hoping DeAndre Hunter turns into, right? Like,
that's
he becomes
they,
the guy yeah, who's the defensive
that's
specialist.
That's why they went to move up to get him.
Yeah, for sure. All right, coming up, Russell Westbrook got tossed from last night's game against the Warriors, and now he has 13 techs on the season. Is he in jeopardy of a suspension? Stick around for that, but first, here's what the Jump recommends for today. Me, I got a piece up on ESPN.com and the ESPN app about how the Heat found their icon in Dwayne Wade. As someone who grew up in Miami, I witnessed it firsthand and the impact that he had on that community. Check it out during the break.
You're like Kawhi wearing your own jersey.
There you go. In tonight's Pelicans-Blazers game, all eyes will continue to be on Zion as the Pelicans try to push for a playoff spot. Since coming back from injury with his knee, which sidelined him for the first 3 months of his rookie season, Zion has averaged 22 points and 7.5 boards per game. So, Brian, what would you say the biggest area of improvement is for Zion?
Everywhere. And I'm just excited about him talking about where he needs to improve because I can see that he can improve everywhere. Like, for example, he is a way better passer than I ever knew him to be. He throws terrific finesse passes, and when he learns how the game moves, which will take him years, he's going to be a devastating passer. Mm-hmm. Good luck double-teaming him.
Right.
That's how good he is. And so much of what he's gotten has just been on feel and power. You remember when
you were
a rookie.
It's scary.
You have no idea
what's coming with this kid. And, you know, the fact that he's only 19, you know, to me, I just want to see him stay healthy because I know how hard he works. Everything is going to improve. But Brian mentioned earlier, you don't really understand the game until you're about 3 or 4 years in, and then you kind of get a real idea of it. Then you continue to build the mental side of the game because it's 90% mental. This kid is incredible physically. Like I said, he's one of those rare stars that could get his 20 and 10 just in the flow of the game. You don't have to slow the game down and go to him. But once you realize that you can slow the game down, and to me, he doesn't even exert his physical dominance yet. I don't think he understands how strong he really is. So there's still a lot of learning to do, and that's no disrespect. I just think that's a tremendous upside, and this kid's going to be a superstar.
He gets so many of his baskets off of offensive rebounds.
Hustle.
When they learn actually how to set him up and play, and then he has the offensive rebounds.
Scary.
Forget about it, man.
How imposing can he be though on defense? Because we've seen glimpses of that too.
I mean, he volleyball swatted that shot to like the 15th row, and that was. that wasn't even the one I was talking about, but that was impressive. You know, I think it's scary because it always in the back of your mind, no matter what, if he's on the court, you know, if you can beat your man, that Zion is coming. So that puts a little bit of doubt, even though he's what 6'5", 6'6". But you know he's coming. He can jump like a center. So that little piece of doubt in people's mind, always wondering, you got to know where Zion is, even if he's not guarding you, is definitely going to help their defense.
The one thing I think, if I were nitpicking, because I do agree with you that there's a lot of things that are going to come with just growth, right? But his free throw shooting. He wasn't a good free throw shooter in college, and he hasn't necessarily been a good free throw shooter in the NBA.
People are just going to start fouling him.
Yeah. So I think that's one thing he's going to have to specifically work on moving forward. Because, right, he's going to be the go-to guy at the end of games, and you're going to have to be able to hit those. So.
Sure.
All right, Russell Westbrook was ejected from last night's game after receiving 2 technical fouls. He now has 13 techs this season, 3 shy of a suspension.
Oh.
After the game, Westbrook explained his situation. Let's take a listen.
Do you feel like refs have a quicker trigger on techs for you because of...
I'm not sure, man. I mean, if you watch the game, I played the whole game. I didn't shoot a free throw. You know, I'm at the basket more than probably anybody in the last... I don't know. Since I've been in the league, you know what I'm saying? I get no free throws today. But ideally, I just got to keep going. There's no protecting myself. And that's just what it is. You know what I mean? I'm okay with it. I'm a guy that's going to compete every single night and go out and play my game and find ways to be effective. And they blow the whistle. They do. They don't. Who cares? I cannot allow it to affect who I am as a person and what I'm representing and who I am. So that's on me.
So, Matt, because of a possible suspension looming after he gets to 16, do you worry about the amount of techs?
No, not at all. I mean, if he gets it, he gets it. If he has to sit down in the game, he probably needs a little bit of rest anyway. But Russ wants it more than anyone else out there, and I'm taking Russ 10 out of 10 times. You know what I mean? I love just the dog and desire in him. His energy is contagious, and I think you see it rubbing off on that Houston Rockets team now. James is kind of realizing he can take a back seat every once in a while, let Russ do his thing. And, you would love to have a guy like this on your team.
As Matt said, he does take games off to rest. So I would just say to him, listen, his game check's over 300,000.
Yeah.
You may not want to lose that 300,000, so don't do it. And in the playoffs, I think it's 7 techs.
Yeah.
If he gets to 7 techs in the playoffs, it means the Rockets are on a long run.
Right.
So I don't think they're worried about it at all, to be honest.
Do you think they can get on a long run?
No.
No? You don't buy into them? Matt?
Well,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brian.
I mean, I watch them play, and I respect what they're doing. I just question that in a playoff series, whether they can defend and rebound with that lineup.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
That's my biggest question. You know, I doubted it from the jump, and, you know, hats off to what they've been able to accomplish since they went to that small ball lineup. P.J. Tucker's been playing great. Everyone's been playing well. But can they do it in the playoffs where the game slows down and each possession is so important and you're not really having anyone on that glass to protect the offensive glass? You know, offensive rebounds are what killed team in the playoffs. So it'll be interesting to see. But right now they're playing great. So during the playoffs, it just takes to be hot at the right time and going in the right rhythm, and they're probably going to be on a high note. So they're going to be scary. Just like the Miami's going to be in the East, the Houston's going to be that scary in the West.
Yeah, I give them like a puncher's chance, basically, because if they do get hot, right? Like, right. Then they could potentially knock someone out. They've been competitive with the Lakers and been competitive with the Clippers in the regular season. So we'll see. But I'm with you. No rebounds, no rings. See, Pat, we're not all doubting you. We know that works, too. All right, up next, Dr. J turns 70 tomorrow. We'll celebrate his birthday with some vintage Dr. J video in crunch time. But first, it's time for our second distant replay of the day. This one from this date in 2009, featuring Russell Westbrook.
I'll tell you, having it knocked away.
Oh, EJ, give
right
it to
back.
Him.
There it is.
That's the Warriors court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I think of when I see that court.
Where's Andres Biedris?
Making money on the bench?
I took his best shots and Goddard laughed at him. He should be embarrassed. They have to thank his lucky stars that they were on his side that night. He let a fat guy beat him.
Bird score! Deontay Wilder, I want you next, bum!
There's no question asked. When I leave this sport, I will be recognized as one of the best that ever done it.
There's only one guy that interests me, and that's me, you know, Deontay Wilder, because that's the real battle of the undefeated heavyweight giants. Behemoths. Titan.
Are you ready?
Battle of the big men. Deontay Wilder takes on Tyson Fury in a rematch that the world has been waiting for. Live on pay-per-view tomorrow, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Get it on ESPN+. It's crunch time here on The Jump. Big fight tomorrow night. You saw it. Matt, who you got?
I got Wilder. His right hand has saved him a lot of time. Tremendous puncher. But Fury, he's in shape. He's ready. Who's to say? You know, I think it was kind of tied on the cards at the time, the first time when he knocked him out. Fury's a great unorthodox kind of boxer, so it's going to be fun. I'm excited to see.
I don't know which one's Tyson and which one's Wilder.
The British guy is Tyson. He's the bald guy.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm with you, Matt. I think Tyson Fury's going to make this an even better match, I think, than even last time. He's just... unorthodox is the right word. He's a little weird in his movements, and it can just stun me.
Stop drinking 20 to 30 Diet Cokes a day to get in shape for this.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. It was a good match the first time. I think it's going to be fireworks this time, too.
He was on the Stan Van Gundy diet before that. All right, Dr. J turns 70 tomorrow. Shout out to the four-time MVP, champion, and Hall of Famer. Brian, what's your favorite Dr. J moment?
The first All-Star game I ever watched was his last All-Star game, and they were celebrating him, and so I learned all about him, and I'll bet Dr. J could still dunk on his 70th birthday. How many people in the history of the world could dunk at age 70? I'll bet he could throw it down.
Didn't he used to have a video, or last year, didn't he do a video? Was it years ago? A
couple years ago.
Yeah.
A couple years ago he did on his documentary. Yeah.
I mean, he was a trendsetter. You know what I mean? He was I wouldn't say Jordan before Jordan, but, you know, comparable as far as just the acrobatics in the air, dunking on people, the way big old hands controlled the ball. So happy birthday to a legend, man.
He is a legend.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The Warriors announced yesterday that Klay Thompson, your old teammate Matt, will officially not play this season. So, Matt, this is a good idea, or do you want to see him play this year?
No, if he's not ready, he's not ready. I think they probably want to shut that door, realizing they gave the world a little bit. Okay, we might give you Steph this year. But, you know, Klay is someone. And obviously, Klay had a much more significant injury. So, rest up an entire year, which I think is the right move. You're going to get a little bit of Klay, and then we're going to see what the Warriors are about next year.
If the Warriors were in ninth place right now, had Steph not gotten hurt, I wonder if this would be different, but since we'll never know. We'll never know how he is.
Klay might be interested, though, I've read at least, right, that he may be trying to see if he can get on Team USA for the Olympics. That might be something.
They'd love to have him.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that right now. They'd love to have him.
All right, next, another former Warrior, Harrison Barnes, declared recently that he will not cut his hair or shave until the Kings hit 500 or the season ends. That last part is important. Barnes dropped 32 points in a win over the Grizzlies last night, but the Kings are only 22-33. Brian, is Barnes playing like a guy who wants to shave?
He can want to shave, but he may not be shaving anytime soon.
I think his face is just itching, so he's out there playing hard. But, yeah, I think he'll probably have to shave that in the off season.
Yeah, yeah. I think the season will catch up with
him. He might not have thought that out before he said it. He may have been in the moment.
That's two more months, man, of no shaving. That's still a long time. All right, for the first time since Al Horford's rookie season, he's coming off the bench in each of his last couple of games here. He told reporters that he believes he'll continue to come off the bench moving forward. Coach Brett Brown of the Sixers did emphasize today that he has faith in Horford, saying, quote, "We have seen the history of Al Horford, and all of us would be very naive to think some of his signing wasn't driven to where we want him to be involved in April, May, and we hope June." Matt, do you think or do you buy the Sixers playing Horford as a sixth man?
Yeah, I do. I think I mentioned it earlier. I think it's just too much clutter with the starting unit. I think him coming off the bench, he's a team player first. You know that, so it's not going to be an issue in the locker room. And it's great to have his experience with that second younger, the younger unit. So who plays in the stretch, down the stretch, and crunch time will be, you know, still up for debate. But I like him coming off the bench.
Now, wait a minute. They did sign him for April, May, and June.
Yeah.
But they also gave him $100 million for November, December, January, February. Brett is trying to put a good face on this.
Yeah.
This has not worked out.
Yeah.
His role has changed. What they need him to do has changed again. Because they don't have shooters, they have to have him be a floor spacer. He can't play pick and roll like he always has. He's gotten booed by his home fans. It happened again last night. It's happened several times.
They booed Santa Claus, though. So
they did.
I know. But this is not working out.
I agree with you.
I agree with you, Matt, in that he can do that role because he is a versatile player who won't make waves. But let's not ignore this is just a smiley face we put on it.
Well, to your point, he doesn't make waves, but he's spoken about the fit plenty already this season, which is a bit out of character for him, which goes to show you how maybe dire the situation is.
The Sixers, again, I talked about the cone of uncertainty. They could end up in the finals. They could be out in the first round. If they're out early, we're going to see massive changes to this team, I would expect, over the summer. And Al Horford's future may not be in Philadelphia.
Along with Brett Brown.
Yeah, Brett Brown is definitely on the hot seat, right? I don't think there's any doubt about that because it's easier, in most cases, to remove the coach, unfortunately, in that situation than any of the players.
If they go out early, I think we're looking at both.
Yeah. All right, we have some news here. The Pistons have announced that Markieff Morris has been bought out. What do you make of this, Brian? Like, who do you think could use him?
He's had a pretty good season this year, shooting almost 40% from three-point range. Obviously, the Lakers need help here. I would expect them to show up.
I think he's going to come be a roommate with his brother, and there's going to be a Clipper house in the Lakers.
A house divided.
That would be funny, actually.
Cannot stand.
All right, there is for Matt Barnes, for Brian Windhorst. I'm George Sedano. Be sure to check out the Jump pregame show live from Milwaukee tomorrow night.